Passage 40. Food and Talk. Last week, at a dinner party, the hostess asked me to sit next to Mrs. Rumbold. Mrs. Rumbold was a large, unsmiling lady in a tight black dress. She did not even look up when I took my seat beside her. Her eyes were fixed on her plate, and in a short time she was busy eating. I tried to make conversation. "A new play is coming to the Globe soon," I said. "Will you be seeing it?" "No," she answered. "Will you be spending your holidays abroad this year?" I asked. "No," she answered. "Will you be staying in England?" I asked. "No," she answered. In despair, I asked her whether she was enjoying her dinner. "Young man," she answered, "if you ate more and talked less, we would both enjoy our dinner." Passage 41. Do you call that a hat? "Do you call that a hat?" I said to my wife. "You needn't be so rude about it," my wife answered, as she looked at herself in the mirror. I sat down on one of those modern chairs with holes in it and waited. We had been in the hat shop for half an hour, and my wife was still in front of the mirror. "We mustn't buy things we don't need," I remarked suddenly. I regretted saying it almost at once. "You needn't have said that," my wife answered. "I need not remind you of that terrible tie you bought yesterday." "I find it beautiful," I said. "A man can never have too many ties." "And a woman can't have too many hats," she answered. 10 minutes later, we walked out of the shop together. My wife was wearing a hat that looked like a lighthouse.
Passage 42. Not very musical. As we had had a long walk through one of the markets of Old Delhi, we stopped at a square to have a rest. After a time, we noticed a snake charmer with two large baskets at the other side of the square, so we went to have a look at him. As soon as he saw us, he picked up a long pipe which was covered with coins and opened one of the baskets. When he began to play a tune, we had our first glimpse of the snake. It rose out of the basket and began to follow the movements of the pipe. We were very much surprised when the snake charmer suddenly began to play jazz tunes and popular modern songs. The snake, however, continued to dance slowly. It obviously could not tell the difference between Indian music and jazz.
Passage 43. Over the South Pole. In 1929, 3 years after his flight over the North Pole, the American explorer R.E. Byrd successfully flew over the South Pole for the first time. Though at first Byrd and his men were able to take a great many photographs of the mountains that lay below, they soon ran into serious trouble. At one point, it seemed certain that their plane would crash. It could only get over the mountains if it rose to 10,000 feet. Byrd at once ordered his men to throw out 2 heavy food sacks. The plane was then able to rise, and it cleared the mountains by 400 feet. Byrd now knew that he would be able to reach the South Pole, which was 300 miles away, for there were no more mountains in sight. The aircraft was able to fly over the endless white plains without difficulty.
Passage 44. Through the Forest. Mrs. Anne Sterling did not think of the risk she was taking when she ran through a forest after two men. They had rushed up to her while she was having a picnic at the edge of a forest with her children and tried to steal her handbag. In the struggle, the strap broke, and with the bag in their possession, both men started running through the trees. Mrs. Sterling got so angry that she ran after them. She was soon out of breath, but she continued to run. When she caught up with them, she saw that they had sat down and were going through the contents of the bag. So she ran straight at them. The men got such a fright that they dropped the bag and ran away. "The strap needs mending," said Mrs. Sterling later, "but they did not steal anything."
Passage 45. A Clear Conscience. The whole village soon learnt that a large sum of money had been lost. Sam Benton, the local butcher, had lost his wallet while taking his savings to the post office. Sam was sure that the wallet must have been found by one of the villagers, but it was not returned to him. 3 months passed, and then, one morning, Sam found his wallet outside his front door. It had been wrapped up in newspaper, and it contained half the money he had lost, together with a note which said, "A thief, yes, but only 50% a thief." 2 months later, some more money was sent to Sam with another note. "Only 25% a thief now." In time, all Sam's money was paid back in this way. The last note said, "I am 100% honest now."
Passage 46. Expensive and uncomfortable. When a plane from London arrived at Sydney Airport, workers began to unload a number of wooden boxes which contained clothing. No one could account for the fact that one of the boxes was extremely heavy. It suddenly occurred to one of the workers to open up the box. He was astonished at what he found. A man was lying in the box on top of a pile of woolen goods. He was so surprised at being discovered that he did not even try to run away. After he was arrested, the man admitted hiding in the box before the plane left London. He had had a long and uncomfortable trip, for he had been confined to the wooden box for over 10 hours. The man was ordered to pay £345 for the cost of the trip. The normal price of a ticket is £230.
Passage 47. A Thirsty Ghost. A public house, which was recently bought by Mr. Ian Thompson, is up for sale. Mr. Thompson is going to sell it because it is haunted. He told me that he could not go to sleep one night because he heard a strange noise coming from the bar. The next morning, he found that the doors had been blocked by chairs and the furniture had been moved. Though Mr. Thompson had turned the lights off before he went to bed, they were on in the morning. He also said that he had found 5 empty whiskey bottles which the ghost must have drunk the night before. When I suggested that some villagers must have come in for a free drink, Mr. Thompson shook his head. The villagers have told him that they will not accept the inn, even if he gives it away. Passage 48. Did you want to tell me something? Dentists always ask questions when it is impossible for you to answer. My dentist had just pulled out one of my teeth and had told me to rest for a while. I tried to say something, but my mouth was full of cotton wool. He knew I collected birds' eggs and asked me whether my collection was growing. He then asked me how my brother was and whether I liked my new job in London. In answer to these questions, I either nodded or made strange noises. Meanwhile, my tongue was busy searching out the hole where the tooth had been. I suddenly felt very worried, but could not say anything. When the dentist at last removed the cotton wool from my mouth, I was able to tell him that he had pulled out the wrong tooth.
Passage 49. The End of a Dream. Tired of sleeping on the floor, a young man in Tehran saved up for years to buy a real bed. For the first time in his life, he became the proud owner of a bed which had springs and a mattress. Because the weather was very hot, he carried the bed onto the roof of his house. He slept very well for the first two nights, but on the third night, a storm blew up. A gust of wind swept the bed off the roof and sent it crashing into the courtyard below. The young man did not wake up until the bed had struck the ground. Although the bed was smashed to pieces, the man was miraculously unhurt. When he woke up, he was still on the mattress. Glancing at the bits of wood and metal that lay around him, the man sadly picked up the mattress and carried it into his house. After he had put it on the floor, he promptly went to sleep again.
Passage 50. Taken for a ride. I love travelling in the country, but I don't like losing my way. I went on an excursion recently, but my trip took me longer than I expected. I'm going to Woodford Green, I said to the conductor as I got on the bus. But I don't know where it is. I'll tell you where to get off, answered the conductor. I sat in the front of the bus to get a good view of the countryside. After some time, the bus stopped. Looking round, I realized with a shock that I was the only passenger left on the bus. You'll have to get off here, the conductor said. This is as far as we go. Is this Woodford Green? I asked. Oh, dear, said the conductor suddenly. I forgot to put you off. It doesn't matter, I said. I'll get off here. We are going back now, said the conductor. Well, in that case, I prefer to stay on the bus, I answered.
Passage 51. Reward for Virtue. My friend Herbert has always been fat. But things got so bad recently that he decided to go on a diet. He began his diet a week ago. First of all, He wrote out a long list of all the foods which were forbidden. The list included most of the things Herbert loves. Butter, potatoes, rice, beer, milk, chocolate, and sweets. Yesterday I paid him a visit. I rang the bell and was not surprised to see that Herbert was still as fat as ever. He led me into his room and hurriedly hid a large parcel under his desk. It was obvious that he was very embarrassed. When I asked him what he was doing, he smiled guiltily and then put the parcel on the desk. He explained that his diet was so strict that he had to reward himself occasionally. Then he showed me the contents of the parcel. It contained 5 large bars of chocolate and 3 bag sweets.
Passage 52. A pretty carpet. We have just moved into a new house, and I have been working hard all morning. I have been trying to get my new room in order. This has not been easy, because I own over 1,000 books. To make matters worse, the room is rather small, so I have temporarily put my books on the floor. At the moment, they cover every inch of floor space, and I actually have to walk on them to get in or out of the room. A short while ago, my sister helped me to carry one of my old bookcases up the stairs. She went into my room and got a big surprise when she saw all those books on the floor. "This is the prettiest carpet I have ever seen," she said. She gazed at it for some time, then added, "You don't need bookcases at all. You can sit here in your spare time and read the carpet."
Passage 53. Hot Snake. At last, firemen have put out a big forest fire in California. Since then, they have been trying to find out how the fire began. Forest fires are often caused by broken glass or by cigarette ends which people carelessly throw away. Yesterday, the firemen examined the ground carefully, but were not able to find any broken glass. They were also quite sure that a cigarette end did not start the fire. This morning, however, a fireman accidentally discovered the cause. He noticed the remains of a snake, which was wound round the electric wires of a 16,000-volt power line. In this way, he was able to solve the mystery. The explanation was simple, but very unusual. A bird had snatched up the snake from the ground and then dropped it onto the wires. The snake then wound itself round the wires. When it did so, it sent sparks down to the ground, and these immediately started a fire. Passage 54. Sticky Fingers. After breakfast, I sent the children to school, and then I went to market. It was still early when I returned home. The children were at school, my husband was at work, and the house was quiet. So I decided to make some tarts for tea. In a short time, I was busy mixing butter and flour, and my hands were soon covered with sticky pastry. At exactly that moment, the telephone rang. Nothing could have been more annoying. I picked up the receiver between 2 sticky fingers and was dismayed when I recognized the voice of Mrs. Bates. It took me 10 minutes to persuade her to ring back later. At last, I hung up the receiver. What a mess! There was pastry on my fingers, on the telephone, and on the doorknobs. I had no sooner got back to the kitchen than the doorbell rang loud enough to wake the dead. This time it was the postman, and he wanted me to sign for a registered letter.
Passage 55. Not a gold mine. Dreams of finding lost treasure almost came true recently. A new machine called the Revealer has been invented, and it has been used to detect gold which has been buried in the ground. The machine was used in a cave near the seashore where, it is said, pirates used to hide gold. The pirates would often bury gold in the cave and then fail to collect it. Armed with the new machine, a search party went into the cave, hoping to find buried treasure. The leader of the party was examining the soil near the entrance to the cave when the machine showed that under the ground. Very excited, the party dug a hole 2 feet deep. They finally found a small gold coin, which was almost worthless. The party then searched the whole cave thoroughly, but did not find anything except an empty tin trunk. In spite of this, many people are confident that the Revealer may reveal something of value fairly soon.